Well, old Edinburgh was really a European city, and like most European cities, it evolved effectively to keep out the wind, because it's an extremely windy rock. So on the High Street itself was always bounded by six-story walls of buildings, but behind the High Street were lanes, closes, venels, and courtyards. Within these, the wind is kept completely out, as you can feel now. It's absolutely sheltered. And these were full of people, of course, the residents, but old towns like this were full of anything from poets to musicians to mountebanks to traders to herb sellers or whatever. We know that in the 16th century, during the reign of Mary Queen of Scots, there was a woman, a widow, selling Belgian chocolate in the lawn market, but she had a shop. She wasn't selling it from a barrow, I don't think. And the other interesting thing, like any European city, this place would have been alive with noise. You'd have the sound of bells of the churches of St Giles and Trinity College Church and the abbeys and the monasteries, but also the noise of the gold beaters and the silversmiths, which were in this part of Edinburgh in the West Bow. And sometimes the noise could be frightening. But if you want to get an idea, nowadays you go to something like Krakow, where there's still a functioning medieval city, and you hear the sound that permeates the entire city, and that's what could have been here.
You were saying in your talk, and I didn't realise this, that this whole area, which we consider to be well protected and well preserved, but after the Second World War, there were proposals to get rid of it all and knock it all down.
The 1949 development plan effectively was going to make the High Street into an office parade. They were going to keep some houses, only a few of them, down in the Canongate, and they started to demolish. Where the Scandic Crown Hotel is was derelict for about 20 years because there was scheme after scheme for office blocks, just like the office block they demolished for Lothian Regional Council. Because they didn't have a concept. What they were doing effectively was continuing a 300-year-old tradition of trying to make the whole of Edinburgh British, not realizing that Edinburgh was in fact divided very strongly between two cultures, a European culture here and the British culture in a new town across the valley.
Sarah Boyack, MSP, you're here today. What do you think is important in the kind of modern context? I mean, we've got these ideas for developments going on at the moment. What are your concerns or thoughts on what's going to happen here?
I'm concerned about affordable housing, that the area doesn't become gentrified to the extent that ordinary people can't afford to live here anymore, whether you're a nurse or a school teacher or a cleaner. We've got to make sure we've got affordable housing, whether it's private rented or affordable to buy. There's also the issue about facilities that define an area, like local nursery schools or primary schools. So there's a whole issue about making it a community where people can afford to live, providing the community facilities, but also providing opportunities for people to work here as well. So it's not just for somewhere for tourists to come. It's somewhere for people to live as well. And the Old Town Festival is fantastic because it pulls together the strength of the museums, the poetry library, the storytelling centre, and also lets local people have the kind of discussions that 200-300 years ago would have gone on here with local residents. And then there's a part of this area that people want to debate things. Every time we get a new development proposal, people are not against development, but they don't like seeing a skyscraper next door. And it's about keeping it proportionate with the history, and making it livable. And I think the exciting thing about this area is that the numbers are coming up again. It's difficult for me as an MSP to imagine 77,000 people living here. But I do remember as a child growing up, my parents went to church in the old town. They went to the Canongate Kirk. And I remember at that point the slum clearance proposals. And it devastated the area. It took thousands and thousands of working class people out the area. And I now meet those working class people in the closes where there are older people's accommodation. And they were moved out to the suburbs and they've come back. And there's a real issue about enabling their sons and daughters and grandchildren to come back into the old town and establish themselves. And I think that's quite a powerful metaphor. It's all about local people still being able to live here.
It's also very much more ecological. It seems to be silly to have people marooned away out in some sort of suburb at a distance they can't even afford to come back into town centre, rather than increasing the density of the town here and allowing people to interact as they used to. But nowadays, when you've got lifts, you've got artificial ventilation, artificial light, you can do things in an old town which you couldn't have done in Victorian times. And what we've got is a remnant of an old town with overwide streets and all this sort of stuff. We could narrow that. We could probably, without too much trouble, with a lot of imagination, double the population.